I'm going to give a little pop quiz to all you history geeks out there. No doubt you'll know what this is. Maybe some of you kids, you guys like history? It's like your history class in school. You've been through U.S. history before. You may know the answer to this question. There's a certain town in Virginia. It's known really for one thing. I apologize if you're from there. I don't mean to suggest that you're insignificant. I'm sure that it means a lot to you. But really, it's known for one thing. And I'm going to ask you what this place is known for. See if you've ever heard of this place. It's a town called Appomattox. How many of you have heard of a town before called Appomattox? Raise your hand. Some of you kids, maybe you studied it, but you've forgotten it. Well, what happened at a place called Appomattox? You know something, you know what happened at this place called Appomattox? In 8 months from yesterday, it will be the 150th anniversary of what happened at this place called Appomattox. You see, what happened at Appomattox in the year 1865 and April 9th to April 12th, to be specific, of 1865 was a watershed moment in United States history. Because you see, there were two parties that were fighting against each other. There was the Federal Army, the Army of the United States of America. And there was another army that was fighting. It was called the Confederate Army. And what is the war that is called when the Federal Army in the 1860s fought against the Confederate Army? We know that as the Civil War. Okay? And the Civil War, eventually the federal forces of the United States Army were defeating the Confederate Army, and they were pushing them back into their territory, and they were making great inroads into the South and finding great victories. And one day, in April of 1865, the Northern Army of Virginia, led by a general named Robert E. Lee, finally recognized enough is enough. Enough is enough, and it's time for us to surrender. What does it mean to surrender? To give up. To say, I'm done. I'm done fighting. And so General Lee of the Confederate Army, the Northern Army of Virginia, and General Ulysses S. Grant of the Federal Army met in a place called Appomattox. Now, what did General Lee do to General Grant when he came there? He said, I give up. Will you sign a treaty? Will you sign a peace treaty? Will you tell us your terms by which we're going to give up, by which we're going to stop fighting? And the history books tell us of an extraordinary scene. On April 12th, 1865, there at Appomattox, over 20,000 soldiers in the Army of Northern Virginia that were surrendering came to the Federal Army, and they had weapons, they had guns, they had other things that they had used to fight against against the Federal Army. What do you think they did with those weapons? What do you think they did? They were surrendering, they were giving up. So what'd they do with those weapons? They laid them down. They rode up. They walked up. There was a big pile of weapons. And one by one, those 20,000 people said, here's my gun. I'm done fighting. They walked up and they said, yeah, here's this cannon that we were using against you. Let's stack that up right here. We're done fighting. We give up. We're done. Now, I got a question for you. Just a few days before, the Federal Army had been shooting at them. They'd been trying to kill those soldiers. And now those soldiers were coming up and laying down their guns. Weren't they scared that they were going to get killed? Weren't they scared that the Federal Army was going to, ha-ha, you put down your weapons, now I'm going to shoot you again. Now I've got you, you're done for. No, they weren't scared. Why not? Why weren't they scared? Why could those soldiers come up and say, okay, here are my weapons, I'm putting them down, and I'm just going to walk away, and I'm not scared about you shooting me in the back? Why? Why? It's because there was something called a truce. There was something called an armistice. That means that General Grant signed and said, you know what? We're done fighting too. If you put down your arms, not only does that mean you stop fighting, but that means we stop fighting too. Now, this is a long story, but it's an important one to demonstrate the principle that we're going to be talking about today from the book of Romans, chapter 5. You see, Romans chapter 5 starts out with this triumphant proclamation of Paul. Paul says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We have peace with God right now. And then he even goes beyond that to say, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace. What grace? The grace that came from having peace with God. What does he say about that grace? Wherein we stand. I'm going to ask you this morning whether you, in your daily lives, are standing in the grace that God has given to you when he signed a peace treaty in the blood of his own son. I'm going to ask you, number one, whether you even have peace with God to begin with, whether you have ever laid down your weapons and you have ever surrendered as that Confederate army did. And then secondly, whether you are living on the basis of that peace treaty. Living on the basis of that peace, that grace of God that has been giving to you every single day of your life, moment by moment. I'm going to give a message this morning entitled, A Truce to be Trusted. A Truce to be Trusted. And let's see what the Lord has through his word this morning from the Holy Spirit that he has given to us. Let's understand, first of all, the peace. The peace. This is what Paul says in verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Peace with God. What does that mean? What does that mean to have peace with God? He made us. He created us. How can we not have peace with God, you might be asking? Well, first of all, we need to understand the need for peace. The need for peace. Just as that Confederate army was rebelling against the United States of America, revolting against the government, saying, we're done. We're not going to be under your authority anymore. We're going to create our own Confederate states. So we have declared war against God. You know how we did that? It happened through the very first president, if you will, of the human race. It was a man named Adam. And you know the story of Adam. God created him to be in what's called the Garden of Eden. And God gave him liberty to choose to do that which was right. But he said, do not eat from the tree that I've given you here in the garden. That is the tree you are not to eat of. And Adam declared war on God. He declared his rebellion from God when he took of that fruit and ate it. And what the Bible tells us is at that moment, all of humanity fell into sin. And that because Adam is your representative, he was the first human, he was the representative of the human race, that so you, from the moment you are born, are living in rebellion to God. You are living as his enemy. And then guess what? You confirm your enmity to God every single day. Why? Because God says, hey, I'm the Lord. I'm the boss. I'm the one in charge. Don't do that. And you say, oh, okay, thanks. I will do that, though. I'm going to. The sin. God says, you know what? I want you to act in this way. I want you to do what's right. And you say, I'm not going to do that. I don't like that. I'd rather be the boss. You know what you're doing? You're fighting against God. God says do and you say no. God says don't and you say yes. It's sin. The Bible calls it sin. And as we memorize the verse today, what verse did we memorize in Sunday school today? Say it with me if you know it. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. One more time. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What does that mean? That means that you are the enemy of God from the moment you were born. That means you kept on confirming that. You were confirming your enmity against God by fighting against Him. And so there is a need for peace, because right now there is no peace. You know what the Bible says? My God says there is no peace to the wicked. There's no peace to those who are fighting against God. There needs to be some kind of treaty. And secondly, we see the necessity for this peace. We've seen the need of this peace. Now we see the necessity for this peace. In other words, what has to happen? I'll tell you what happened. You probably know the story. You may know the story. You may not. But what happens sometimes when there are two sides warring against each other, someone comes in the middle between them and says, hey, come in here. We need to talk. We need a treaty. And he says to these guys, come in. I know you're fighting right now, but we need to get together. We need to come to some terms. You may have been following the conflict that's going on in Israel right now. The Israelis are fighting against the Palestinians over Gaza. They're trying to destroy the group called Hamas. They've been trying to take out their capacity to bomb Israel. And they've been at war. And who's been trying to step in to solve things? John Kerry, the Secretary of the United States. Secretary of State, come on guys. Israelis over here, Palestinians over here. Let's talk, okay? Let's find a peace. Do you know there's been a mediator between you and God? There's someone that's come in the middle and said, hey, you rebellious sinner, God has terms over here. He has terms for you to be at peace with Him. Why don't you take them? Why don't you follow His terms? How did this happen? Well, it's because there was a man named Jesus Christ. He was the Son of God. He was the eternal Son of God who dwelt and lived in heaven. By Him, everything was formed that was formed. He was fully God. And because man was living in rebellion, man was living at enmity with God, He said, I will go. And what did He do? He came and lived here on earth. He walked this earth 2,000 years ago. We read about Him in the Bible. We read about what He did. And He did not violate God's law once. He fully lived up to the glory of God. God said, live this way. And He said, okay, I will. He was not at enmity with God. In fact, He was the Son of God. And yet, He submitted to man killing Him, putting Him to death on a cross, driving nails into His hands and into His feet, putting a crown of thorns on His head. Not only that, He took upon Him all of our sin. That is because He lived a perfect life before God. He did not commit one crime against God. Do you know what He said? I will take all of your crimes on me. That's what Jesus said. And as He hung on that cross, God poured upon Him, as if you will, our iniquities, our sins. We have long rap sheets going down. We have violated the law. And so we are at enmity with God. God said, you know what? I will put all those sins on the one who never sinned. That's why the Bible says that Jesus reconciles us to God. What does it mean to reconcile? You're fighting with someone. Maybe it's a husband and a wife who are arguing, they're bickering, they're fighting with each other. And what happens when they reconcile? Oh, now they're back together. They're happy again. They're not fighting anymore. So Jesus Christ gives you the ability to be reconciled with God. Your sins are cast behind God's back because He placed them on His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, be reconciled to God, Paul says. We need to have that peace. But what's the necessity for it? You know what needs to happen before you can have peace with God? Before you can be reconciled to God? God says, I've got some terms. I've got some terms for you to listen to. And you know what those terms are? Unconditional surrender. What happens when someone's warring and they've lost? They said, we give up. We're putting down our weapons. We're done fighting. You win. We're on your side now. I don't want to be fighting against you anymore. The Bible describes that unconditional surrender with two words, repent and believe. To repent means to change your mind about who God is. You say, I used to think you were my enemy. I don't think that anymore. I think you're righteous. I think you're doing what's right. That also means changing your mind about who you are. You used to say, I'm right. I'm the boss. My sin is okay. It's not bad. And then do you know what you realize? Oh no, it is horrible. God is right, and He is right to make me, for me to be His enemy because of my sin. You know what? I don't like my sin anymore. My sin is a problem. I want to stop fighting against God. That's what it means to repent. And then you also change your mind about Jesus Christ. Maybe you've always thought Jesus Christ was a good person, a good teacher, a nice guy, someone you could listen to. No, suddenly you see Jesus Christ for who He is, the Son of God. You see Him as the mediator who came to reconcile you to God. And then you surrender. You say, I believe. I believe in what you've done for me. I trust in what you've done on the cross to take away my sin. I can't get to heaven in any other way. I can't be reconciled to God unless I go through Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In other words, if you're fighting with God, there's no way you get reconciled but by Jesus Christ. If you're at enmity with God, like all of us have been at one point in our life, there's no way that you become one with Him. You get on His side unless you go through Jesus Christ. Oh, let's understand that necessity that we must have to be reconciled. And third, let's understand the nature of this peace. The nature of this peace. Once this peace happens, where are we? Paul says, we have peace with God right now. That means when you were justified by faith, when all your sins were put upon Jesus Christ because you trusted in Him for salvation, Paul says, you got peace right now. You laid down your weapons. You gave an unconditional surrender. Jesus Christ wrote your peace treaty with God in His own blood that was shed on the cross. He says, I'm signing it in my own name. I'm breaking down the wall between you. And now you can come together and be at peace. Do you know what happened when those Confederate states, remember that Confederate army we were talking about, when they came and laid down their weapons? Do you know what they were? They were a part of the United States of America again. They were united again. Suddenly, these states are back in. They were citizens again of the United States of America. They weren't rebels anymore. They were suddenly on the same side. Wait, you mean that army we were fighting against, we're on their side now? Yeah. You're all on the side of the United States of America. And so too, when God reconciles you through Jesus Christ, when you come to be one with Him, God says you have peace with God. It is a lasting peace. You look forward, that treaty has been signed, and you can look forward into eternity and say, I have peace with God through then. I'm no longer the enemy of God. I'm no longer fighting against Him. My friend, do you have that peace with God today? Have you been reconciled to God by the blood of His Son? Or are you still fighting? You say, I don't think I'm fighting. I don't feel like I'm fighting. Well, guess what? If you've never been reconciled by Jesus Christ, if you've never trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, if you've never repented and believed the gospel, you're fighting. You may not know it. You may not see it, but you're still fighting against God. And it's time for you this morning to surrender. It's time for you to lay down your weapons and say, I got to stop trying to get to heaven on my own. I got to stop trying to become righteous with God by how good I am because I go to church, because I do all these things, I read my Bible. That's not the way to get reconciled to God. The only way to get reconciled to God is to recognize that you are going to trust in what He has done, in what Jesus Christ has done, and nothing more. Be reconciled to God. So first of all, we understand the peace. The peace with God that every single one of us can have when we are no longer the enemy of God. We are now on His side. We have a peace treaty between us. Secondly, let's understand the provision. the provision that comes as a result of this peace. You see, because what Paul says in verse 2, through by whom also, that is by Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace. Into this grace. We got to understand what grace is. We got to understand what God's grace means and how it relates to the peace with God that we can have through Jesus Christ. First of all, let's understand grace, this grace, defined. Defined. What does it mean? What is grace? What is God's grace? Well, someone's explained it this way. I think it's a very good shorthand. How do you spell grace? G-R-A-C-E. If you want to know what grace is, spell it out. God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. G, God's riches at Christ's expense. You know what grace is? Grace is God pouring out something on you, His favor, His love, His kindness to you, His mercy to you, when you did not deserve it even a little bit. God is pouring out His riches to you because not something what you did, but because something Jesus Christ did. Everyone in Scripture recognizes, we see this idea over and over again, in me dwells no good thing. There's nothing that I can do to merit God's love to me. I can't stand up and say, God, I went to church today, so bless me, okay? God, I did this good thing, so now I stand and I deserve all your good things. No. No, God resists the proud. God resists the person who stands up and says, because I'm good, because I pat myself on the back, I receive your goodness. No, grace is God's unmerited favor. You didn't deserve it. You didn't earn it. And it's not owed to you. Nothing is owed to you from God other than judgment. Nothing, God owes you nothing but punishment for your rebellion. But because of what Jesus Christ did when you were still a sinner, when you were still a rebel against God, God's grace is being poured out to you in what you don't deserve. Secondly, this grace is not only defined, let's see it secondly, displayed. Grace displayed. Paul says, this grace. What is this grace? We have peace with God. And how does it mean this grace? Well, we see a few different things. We see, first of all, an adoption. Did you know that when God made peace with you, when you had a peace treaty with God, God didn't just say, okay, you're no longer my enemy. Now get away and I never want to see you again. Have someone ever come to you and asked for forgiveness? They've come to you and said, I'm sorry, I messed up, I said something mean about you, we were quarreling, I was wrong, will you forgive me? And have you ever said, I forgive you, but in your heart you're saying, I'm never going to talk to you again. Get away from me, I guess I'll say I forgive you, and we won't be quarreling anymore, but I'm done with you, okay? I remember about the worst insult that you could ever give growing up. Was, you're not invited to my birthday party. You ever heard that one? You maybe say, I forgive you, but you're never coming to my birthday party ever again. We're not friends. Do you know sometimes that's, I wonder if we think God's like that? God has poured out His grace to us by giving us peace with God, but then we think, oh, is God like my frenemy? Is He like the one who's just, I'm always wondering whether He's the friend or the enemy? No. Jesus said to His disciples, I have called you my friends. Isn't that amazing? We were fighting against God. We were warring against God. And do you know what God says? I'm not only going to make peace with you, but I'm going to make you my friend. I'm going to make you close to me. I'm going to say, hey, you can come and see me. You know, not only that, He goes more than just making you His friend. He adopts you into His family. That is to say, when He justifies you by faith, when His provision of what His Son did allows you to be born again, guess what He does? You become the Son of God. You are adopted into His family. How amazing is that? How many of us have ever treated an enemy like that? How many of us have ever treated someone like that we were fighting against? Suddenly, wait, you're adopting me into your family? You're my child? Wow, that's amazing. And so it is. Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and when we are justified by faith, we become one, if you will, with Jesus Christ. And what the Bible says is that we become heirs of God. What is an heir? Someone who gets an inheritance. Someone who gets something passed down to them. And so in Jesus Christ, we become the very heirs of God. We will inherit God Himself. That's pretty amazing grace, isn't it? That's pretty amazing favor that God is showing to us when we don't deserve it. That not only does He not just make us our, that not only does He stop being our enemy, so to speak, but we become His child. We become the child of God. Not only that, He gives us not just adoption, but access. We have access to the very throne room of grace. God says, hey, not only are you my child, but you can come to me for anything. You can come and plead with me. You can come pray to me. And when it's in accordance with my will, when it's in your best interest, I will give it to you. That's the beauty of prayer, that we can come and talk to the one who used to be our enemy, who we used to be in rebellion against. And then not only access, not only adoption, but we see aid as well. That He says, I will come alongside you. I will strengthen you. I will give you power to not fight against me anymore, but to fight for me, to fight against the world, to fight against the flesh, to fight against the devil, to fight against sin. I will give you power to do all those things. Friends, that's grace. That is God's riches that have been poured out to us at Christ's expense because we have peace with God. And then third, let's see this peace delivered, this provision delivered to us. It's delivered by God Himself indwelling us. You want to say, how does this peace come to me? How does this great grace come to me? The Holy Spirit of God is what is indwelling us and is an instrument of God's grace to us. His grace is poured out to us through the Holy Spirit that is in us. If you have ever trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside you. You don't need some magic outpouring or anything like that. The moment you were saved, the Holy Spirit came and indwelt you. He came to live inside you. And you have God Himself with you. God Himself in you, allowing you and empowering you to do what's right. My friends, let's marvel about this provision that God has given us. That not only do we have peace with God, we have the provision from God that He has given us of His bountiful riches to those of us who used to be His enemy, who used to be pushing back and rebelling against Him. So first of all, we've seen the peace. You need peace because without Him, you're the enemy of God. We've seen after this peace with God, we've seen the provision of God that has come with that peace of being adopted into His family and blessed with all riches. And third, let's see the position. The position of us in this grace. You see, Paul says something very interesting. He says, this grace, he says, we have access into it. That is to say, we can get into this grace, we can experience this grace by faith. And you know what he says about this grace? We stand in this grace. We stand. What does it mean to stand in something? What does it mean to be anchored in something? Martin Luther has famously said that in this I stand, here I stand, I can do no other. He was saying, I'm not going to be moved from this. I'm established in this. I'm not going to be pushed away from this. I'm standing. I'm firm. You know what Paul says here when he says we are to be established, we are to be standing, we are to be standing firm in this grace, in this peace with God that we have? Let's understand, first of all, in awareness. in awareness. If you are to stand in the peace of God, if you are to stand in the grace of God, if you are going to be established in it, it starts with an awareness. And it's an awareness that Paul gives in chapter 8 of Romans. He says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. You want to know what it means to be established in the grace of God? It means to stand and to say, you know what, God? Do you know what I know on the basis of faith in your word? It means you're not my enemy anymore. It means to stand and say, God, you're not against me anymore. You're on my side. God, you're not fighting against me anymore, and I'm not fighting against you anymore. There's a peace treaty between us. That means I have peace with God. This awareness, sometimes, I know the temptation is for this awareness to be so far gone. Do you know what we think? You know what? If I got to be right with God, I got to earn it. You know what? I was saved through grace by faith alone. I didn't do anything to deserve it. I know that. But guess what? If I'm going to stand in God's favor, I got to work really hard. Oh, man. If I don't read my Bible reading this morning, God is going to be angry at me all day. If I don't have my prayer time today, guess what? God's going to be my enemy again today. All these bad things are going to happen to me today. Oh man, if I'm not in church, I'm just waiting for God's foot to come down and stomp me on something. That's what's going to happen if I don't do that. You know what we're missing? We're missing this awareness. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God right now. That means, you know what? You will fail in your Christian life. You will fall short. There will be days where you will wake up and you will say, man, I don't feel the presence of God right now. I don't feel His graciousness in my life. And then there's a day where we fall, every single day when we fall and we stumble and we trip and we skin our knee again. But do you know, you have no less peace with God because of that than you did when you were feeling so super spiritual and God was really seemed like He was revealing Himself to you in a powerful way? You have no less peace with God. Why? Because you have a peace treaty that was signed in the blood of His Son. That means when you are not feeling the presence of God, when you are not feeling very spiritual one day, do you know there's a truce to trust in? God, I'm justified by faith, and it wasn't any of my merit. And so even though I'm not standing in any more merit now, I'm still a sinner. I'm still violating your laws. Guess what? Your Son gave me life. Your Son justified me. It's your Son that I'm going to stand on. It's going to be that peace treaty. I've already surrendered. I've put down my weapons. And you say that therefore I can stand in this grace. Is that the daily experience of your life? Or are you blown about every time by doubt and by fear that when you are knocked down, when you are hit, God is against you. God is pushing you away. Now, you need to be clear. There is a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. Do you understand that? There's a difference between peace with God, that is the treaty, the peace treaty that you've been signed, that is pointing forward into eternity and is there, and the peace of God that rules in your heart. You know, friends, we can forfeit the peace of God by living in sin. Oh yes, when we are not walking with God, we can forfeit the full experience of His peace. Why? Because peace is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And so when we're not walking in the Spirit, when we're not listening to the Spirit of God, we're going in the flesh, God says, you know what? You might miss my peace for a little bit. You might miss the peace of God. But no less do you have the peace with God. That was sealed when you were justified by faith. And let's never forget that. Let's never forget the access into this grace that we stand in. Because secondly, we see the assurance of this position. The assurance of this position. When Paul says, we stand in this grace, what he wants you to say is, the devil is going to come after you. The devil is going to try to knock you when you're down. When you fall down and skin your knee, the devil's going to try to kick you and keep you down. But do you know what your assurance is? No, God's on my side, devil. He's not against me. He's going to come and pick me up where I am. You know, someday when I trip and fall first thing in the morning, God's grace is going to reach out to me and say, hey, you want a hand up? God's on your side. God's your Father. That's the grace that He's poured out to you in Jesus Christ when you didn't deserve it. Oh, would we have this rock solid assurance that God is on our side. I love what Paul says. If God be for us, who can be against us? And the devil's lie to you is God's not on your side. God's against you. I don't care what Jesus Christ did. God's angry at you right now. God is pushing you away from Him. No. Our assurance is if God be for us, because He is for us, who can be against us? When I fall and skin my knee, I can look to Him and say, God, thank you that you are going to pick me up, that you are going to meet me where I fell. Because that's what grace is. Reaching out when we don't deserve it. Oh, this wonderful assurance that we can have when we trust the peace with God that we have through Jesus Christ. Do you know the Northern Army of Virginia showed this kind of trust? They had to have. They came up and they laid down their weapons and they said, we're not fighting anymore. We're done. And then they walked away. They weren't concerned that that army was going to come and kill every single one of them. They went back to their homes, to their houses, to start bringing up a new life again, to start going back to their jobs and to their families, trusting that there was peace. Oh, may that be your trust. May that be your assurance and your confidence that you have peace with God and there's nothing that the devil or anyone else can do to take away that treaty that has been established. Finally, let's understand the attitude of this position. If you have peace with God, friend, if you are united with Him, if not only have you had a peace treaty with Him, an armistice, a truce with Him, but He has given you of all His provision, He's given you His grace, and you know that it's yours, that you can stand in it, guess what? You'll have a certain kind of attitude. And it's what Paul says here in the very last part of verse chapter 2. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What is that word? Rejoice. Do you know what great joy we can have when we say God is for me, not against me? Do you know what great joy we can have when we say, yeah, I messed up today, but guess what? I didn't get saved because I was a good person, and now God doesn't love me anymore because I'm being a good person. It's only on the basis of His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, what joy we can have. Oh, what a new avenue it opens up to enjoy God and to say, God, how wonderful you are. How wonderful you are. When I fall, you are there. Not because I was being good before, but because of that what your Son did for me on my behalf. Do we understand the joy of grace that we stand in? Oh, I pray that every single person here would know the grace of God. That you wouldn't be trying to curry favor with God. That you wouldn't think that you have to, that you wouldn't have to make sure God's on your side by coming to church and doing these works that we think of righteousness. But that we would say, God, I have peace with you because your word says I do. I am standing in the grace, the unmerited favor that you are pouring out in my life. And because of that, I can rejoice. Now you might say, That sounds just wrong. Wouldn't everybody just start sinning more then? If they knew that they didn't have to earn favor with God in their Christian life, it was God's grace, wouldn't we just all be living in terrible sin? Paul meets that objection in Romans 6. He says, what then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid! But do you know what the truth of it is? You will most desire not to sin when you understand God's grace. that's when you'll understand. That's when the desire will be kindled in your heart not to be living in sin, to be yielding yourselves to God, when you understand there's nothing that I can do. There's nothing that I could have done to make my own justification before God. It was only in the gift of your Son. It was only in what He's done. And even now as a Christian, I can live by the works of my own righteousness to please you, but those are just as filthy before you as my works that I tried to earn salvation by. It's only in the works that the Holy Spirit is producing us. It's only in the fruit of the Spirit that He gives. Are we bringing forth those sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God? Do you understand grace? Do you understand the peace that you have with God? So let's take a trip today back to Appomattox. Appomattox, that great site where the Civil War was ended. And let's remember, you are or have been the enemy of God. And if you are living as the enemy of God today, it's time for you to surrender. It's time for you to give up. It's time for you to say, I'm going to trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone to make peace. And if you're today living, understanding that peace, if you're understanding that grace that has been given to you, oh, I pray that this week and in the weeks and months ahead, you would wake up every morning praising God that it's not your goodness that curried favor with God. It's not your works of righteousness. It's His grace that was poured out on you. And come to Him every single morning as a sinner saying, God, I am so grateful that you have reached down in love and in your kindness. I am so grateful that I don't have to get you on my side by being a good person, but that you're on my side because of your Son, Jesus Christ. May each of us understand that truth that we have, and may we trust it in everyday experience. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the peace with God that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that when we were sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Thank you that your mercy was poured upon us when we were dead in sins, when we were the enemies of God. Thank you that as a result of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, we can be justified by faith. We can have that wonderful peace with God, that along with that peace comes this grace that has been poured out upon us so richly. Thank you that that grace was not in any way due to our own merit and is not due to our own merit, but that we simply live and dwell by faith in the grace that we stand now. Father, I pray that if there's anyone here who's never entered into that grace, who's never accessed that peace with God because they've never trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation, pray that today would be the day of salvation. Now, friend, we always leave a moment at the end of every morning service. If you know today, your heart tells you, you do not have peace with God, you would say, I am a sinner. I am standing in condemnation because I have not laid down my weapons. I have not surrendered. I have not repented and believed. I have not trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. My friend, you are the enemy of God today. And oh, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for you. We leave a moment now if you'd like to be reconciled to God, if you'd like to surrender to Him. You can get up from where you are and come and kneel at the steps here. There's nothing magic in doing so, but someone can take the Bible and can show you how you can be reconciled to God, how you can surrender to Him and lay down your weapons. Is there anyone who would come to the front this morning and say, I need to be reconciled to God. I need to surrender. I need to sign that peace treaty. Is there anyone? And you, Christian friend, who has known the peace of God, you've known the peace with God, do you find in your life right now a living on the basis of your own performance? Are you not trusting the treaty that has been given? Are you living in doubt and in fear? May today you come in to that awareness of the peace with God that you have, that was none of your merit, and that continues to be none of your merit, but it's a standing that comes through the work of Jesus Christ. Let's ask the Holy Spirit to lead and guide in our lives as He would have us. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Father, may we know and know that peace with God and experience the peace of God that flows from living and walking with you and in your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.